Praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's always good to be in the house of God with His people. Amen. There's nothing like it. Praise the Lord. And we want to welcome Brother Sister Benson to us here tonight. Amen. Brother Benson, come on up here. Amen. They're from Central Africa. Amen. And they're almost ready to go back. Well, if you guys have songs, whatever you do.
Praise the Lord.
Tess.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I say, boo.
You may be seated.
Nous sommes très contents à d'être ici avec vous ce soir.
Very happy to be here with you this evening.
Hey, merci, Pastor Robert, pour l'opportunité à venir et protéger avec nous notre témoignage.
Thank you, Pastor Roberts, for the opportunity to come and to share our testimony with you tonight.
Nous sommes ici parce que la grâce de Dieu c'est vrai.
We're here tonight because the grace of Jesus is truth.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Et il vivant pour vous et pour moi ce soir.
And He's alive for you and I tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hey, je voudrais à commencer avec une écriture ce soir.
I want to begin with the scripture tonight.
In 1 John chapter 1, verse 1.
1 John 1, 1.
Il lit comme ça.
It says this.
Ce qui était dès le commencement.
The things that were from the beginning.
Ce que nous avons entendu.
The things that we've heard.
Ce que nous avons vu de nos yeux.
The things that we've seen with our eyes.
Ce que nous avons contemplé. Et que nos mains ont touché.
The things that we've looked upon and our hands have handled.
Concernant la parole de vie.
Concerning the word of life.
Quelle est la parole de vie ce soir?
What is the word of life this evening?
Jésus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Parce que par sa parole.
Because by His word.
Il créé le monde.
He created this whole world.
Et il donné la vie de chaque chose.
And He gave life to everything that's living.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So dis avec moi ce soir.
So say this with me this evening.
Les choses j'ai entendues.
The things I've heard.
Et les choses j'ai vu.
The things I've seen.
Et les choses je contemple et touche avec mes mains.
And the things that I've looked upon and my hands have handled.
Si vous concernez votre vie avec le monde aujourd'hui.
If we just concern our lives with this world today.
Où est notre espoir?
Where's our hope?
Si vous contemplez et vous voir le gouvernement aujourd'hui.
So if we just think about and look upon our government today.
Où est notre espoir?
Where's our hope?
Mais,
but,
si vous contemplez et voir la parole de vie.
But if we think about and we're looking at the word of God.
Si vous écoutez la parole de
we
vie.
We hear the word of life.
Et si vous voir la parole
we
de vie.
We see the word of life.
Et si vous touche la parole
we
de vie.
We handle the word of life.
Où est notre victoire?
Where's our victory?
En Jésus Christ.
In Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Parce que il ressuscite de la mort.
He raises the dead.
Et il guérit le tendu.
He heals those who are deaf.
Amen.
Amen.
Et il touche notre pensée.
He touches our minds.
Il nous donne la paix.
He gives us peace.
Dans le temps de difficulté.
In our times of difficulty.
Jésus Christ vivant.
Jesus Christ is alive.
Et quand vous écoutez.
And when we hear.
Et quand vous voir.
We see.
Et quand vous touche la parole de vie.
We handle the word of life.
La victoire reste avec vous.
The victory stays with us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, so ce soir, je voudrais vous aller avec nous.
So this evening, we want you to go with us.
Hey, je voudrais vous aller avec nous et entendre les choses nous entendons.
We want you to go with us, hear the things we've heard.
Et touche les choses
handle
nous touchons.
Handle the things we've handled.
Et voir les choses
see
nous voyons.
See the things we've seen.
La grâce de Jésus Christ.
The grace of Jesus Christ.
Qui opère dans notre vie.
It operates in our lives.
Parce que quand le perdu voit et entendu et touche
because
la parole
when
de
the
vie.
Lost see, hear, and handle the word.
Leur vie a changé.
Their lives are changed.
Amen.
Praise
Hallelujah.
The Lord.
Hey, allez du Bénin et le Centre Afrique avec nous.
So go with us now to the countries of Benin and Central African Republic.
Amen.
Our missionary journey started in Madagascar in 2003. Over the last 16 years, we have been privileged to work in Togo, West Africa, Benin, West Africa, and the Central African Republic. It has been an incredible journey to see what God has been doing and is doing in these countries. While we were in Madagascar, we were able to work with the Bible school and teach in the Bible school. We fell in love with the discipling process. We were able to work and help finish the Bible school in Togo, West Africa. When we moved to Benin, it had satellite Bible schools only. During this time, we were able to construct a Bible school. We were able to get our full-time Bible school up and running. Benin is the home of voodoo. It dates back to the times of slavery. This traditional voodoo worship has a festival that goes on in the village of Ouida. And as we speak, there are thousands upon thousands of people coming in from all around the world to celebrate and to be a part of this festival.
Ouida, I say often, is one of the darkest places that you could ever visit at night. It is so dark there. But the amazing thing is God in His planning chose that very spot to put a Bible school, an apostolic, God-loving, one God, Jesus name Bible school right in the heart of the darkness of magic and voodoo. What started out as just a satellite Bible school program there in Benin, meeting once quarterly for 1 week at a time, has now grown into 80 students. When we look at what the Lord has done over the last 4 years, it is simply miraculous. We've been so thankful for the Amers who have come to Benin with their gifts and their talents to serve alongside of us as together we work towards the harvest.
Currently in Benin, we are having to rent a building for our girls to sleep in during this time of schooling. Our hope is to be able to raise funds to be able to purchase these buildings, but also our classrooms are becoming insufficient for the number of students we have. Our goal is to raise money also for new classrooms to increase the number of students that are able to come to our Bible school. Also working in the Central African Republic. In this war-torn country, we have 35 faithful students that we work with 2 to 3 times a year when we are able to go into this country. Sometimes we are able to teach them 2 and 3 weeks at a time. They come every day during this time. And in the Central African Republic, we are hoping to be able to purchase some land so that we could construct a Bible school permanent structure on this land.
We've been so blessed to be supported through your prayers and your giving for the last 16 years. And we want to tell you thank you so much. There's just no way to convey to you our gratitude for what you've already done in helping us to stay on the field for the last 16 years.
Many people who come to Bible school, they come in difficult times. Some of them have lost families because of their decision to come to our Bible school to join our church. But their desire is to know Jesus. My desire is to be able to help them, teach them to reach lost souls.
And the kingdom is growing every day just because of the fact that we're able to focus on young men and young women, and they go out and make disciples, and they go out and make disciples, and they go out and make disciples, and together the harvest is being gathered. Praise the Lord. I am so excited because we're getting ready to go home. I am so excited. Praise the Lord. Thanks to I Am Global, we were finished off at General Conference. We only have this week a deputation left, so three services, and we're out of here. We're actually headed to Africa Monday for 3 weeks, but not to any of our countries. We're going to conferences in Ghana and Togo, and then we'll be back to get our stuff together, and probably by Thanksgiving, we'll be back in Benin. So we're excited about what God has done. Of our three deputations, this has been the shortest. Our first one was 18 months. Our second one was 23 months. And this one has not been quite 9 months. So we thank God. Incredibly, God has done a fast work. Every one of the projects we discussed in this video are finished. We have one thing that we're working on that wasn't discussed in the video, and I'll get to that in a minute. Well, the one thing I have learned in the years of deputation is that if I don't tell you a little bit about us, I'm going to tell every one of you after church individually. So I'm just going to introduce us first. We're Michael and Danann Benson, originally from Bogalusa, Louisiana. We do have children. We have three children. Our oldest may have been through here because I saw her and her husband's picture hanging on the wall at Brother Matthew Rogers. So I don't know if Logan and Hannah Blackman came through here. Did they? Okay, well, that's our daughter. So that's the oldest. Hannah's our daughter. Following Hannah, we have a son, Thad, that just finished IBC this year and got married in May and is expecting our first grandbaby. And they're headed back to West Africa next year to aim for 2 years with us, so we're excited about that. And then our youngest is Micah, and he is in his third year Bible college at Indiana Bible College. So that's the kids, that's who we are, and that's where we're from. And I think you've got a good little synopsis in the video what we've been doing for the last 16 years. I want to talk to you. Let me just tell you, as I said, this is the last of three services. Everything on that table is all we have left of our stuff from Africa. So we do have a square. If you want to buy it all tonight, we'll be happy for you to. I want to give you a testimony. Why, you know, if you noticed in our video tonight, we talked about Bible school. That's all we've talked about in every country we worked in is Bible school. Why? Why is it such a big deal? Why is it so important? I want to tell you, when you cross the ocean and you get to West Africa, the culture changes dramatically. It is not the same as here in the United States. Tonight, if you feel a call of God on your life, you have pastors, you have mentors, you have many people who can help you pursue that calling and get a greater understanding of the Word of God and build that foundation in you. We Bible quiz. We have Abigail. Oh, I'm sorry. I was close. Abigail tonight was quoting scriptures to me. We start off really young putting the Bible in our kids. But when you go somewhere like Benin, over 60% of the population professes voodoo as their religion. Can you imagine that? Walking into a country and over 60% of the population says, Voodoo, which is voodoo, is my religion. That is what we walked into in 2015. I want to tell you about a young man. He's 45. I guess he's not that young. But Emmanuel, if you'll put his picture up there for me, brother. In 2015, when we moved into the country of Benin, Emmanuel came to work for us. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, kind of spoil it for you, but that's his first night of Bible school there. The book in front of him is Introduction to the Bible. That's a great place to start, isn't it? And he has a brand new Bible and he has a brand new shirt on, looking all spiffy there. Emmanuel is married to a Muslim lady and they have 5 children. So he came to work for us in 2015 and his background was voodoo. And so my husband, of course, wanted to give him a Bible study. Wouldn't you want to? And so he said, Emmanuel, I'd love for you to come in the mornings and drink coffee with me and let's study the Word of God together. And Emmanuel said, no, thank you. He didn't even want coffee, much less study the Word of God. My husband kind of chewed on that a few days. He really didn't like that at all because he was like, you know, I can't have somebody working here that doesn't even know who Jesus is. I've got to get to him. How can I do it? So he thought about it a few days and he said, Emmanuel, he said, you know, I'm teaching and preaching in French. And he said, sometimes when I'm up reading and going through the Bible, I kind of stutter over some of these French words. Now we do that in English, don't we? So you can imagine trying to do, by the way, we were 35 or 37. We started studying French for the first time. We're up there at 50 now. It's been a while. But anyway, my husband said, Emmanuel, do you think you could come in and let me read the Bible to you? And when I mispronounce those words, would you correct me, please, and help me my pronunciation? Emmanuel thought that was a marvelous idea because now he gets to be a teacher to the missionary, and that was pretty cool. So he said, sure, he'd be glad to do that. So he came in, and for about 2 weeks, he and my husband read the Bible and fixed my husband's pronunciation. Hallelujah. And after about 2 weeks, Emmanuel walked in one morning and he said, I believe I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So we took him down to the ocean, baptized him in Jesus' name. You know what happened, don't you? God filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You see, Emmanuel had grown up sacrificing to many gods. He had always made offerings to gods of the sun, of the rain, of the ocean, of the moon. He knew what it was to offer sacrifices to God. He even knew what power was in a spiritual realm. But he found the power above all powers when he found Jesus in the power of the Holy Ghost. Emmanuel was on fire for Jesus. Now, when we got to Benin in 2015, it was February, the first thing we did was we took that satellite Bible school that's about 2 hours north of the capital city, and we increased their studying to once a month instead of once every 3 months. We were able to finance that, provide literature for that, and so thank God we got that going. The second thing we did was we started night classes right there in the city we lived in. Emmanuel, I'll go ahead and tell you, we also, over the last 4 years, built, and you saw pictures, the full-time Bible school out at Ajaglo, which is in the city of Ouida, which is the birthplace of voodoo. So we have those three Bible school programs going now. But when we started the night classes, Emmanuel came to us and he said, I want to go to night class with y'all. And we were like, great, come on. So this is his first night of Bible school. And you can just see the joy of the Lord all over him. He is so full of joy. We rocked on for about 2 years like that. Emmanuel worked 6 12-hour days a week, which is normal. Six. And then he went to Bible school 3 hours every Tuesday and every Thursday night. Friends, that's commitment. That's a desire to know who Jesus is. But about 2.5 years into this, his pastor came to us. We had connected him with a local church. And he said, I don't know what's going on with Emmanuel, but he's missing a lot of church. And so we asked Emmanuel. He had 101 excuses why every time he was missing church. After another few months passed, he stopped going to Bible school with us on Tuesday and Thursday nights. And we take him. He rides with us out to the church where it's held. And we were just devastated. We just didn't get it. And we kept asking him, Emmanuel, what's going on? Is it your wife? That was our first thought. It would have been yours too, right? We said, is it your wife? He said, no, it's not my wife. It's just I got to do this. I got to do that. I got so much going on in my mind. And so we were just like, we don't get it. So about, I don't know, a month or two before we came home last year, came home in December, I was making seafood gumbo. Now, I'm a Louisiana girl, so we live on the ocean. We make a lot of gumbo. By the way, okra. The French word for okra is gumbo. So if you got some okra in the pot, you got gumbo going on, okay, ladies? But I was making our traditional seafood gumbo. So anyway, Emmanuel, the slaves brought okra to us, so they love it. Many of their dishes are okra-based. So I said, Emmanuel, I'm making gumbo, seafood gumbo today. Do you want to come in and eat with us? Of course he wanted to. Who wouldn't want to, right?
So anyway, he said, yeah, Mom, I want to come in. I knew he did. So he came in to eat with us, and we're sitting there eating, and we're telling him, you know, Emmanuel, in a couple of months, we're going to be gone. And we just really want you to tell us what has happened, because we just don't get it. If we've offended you, if you've been offended in the church, please just talk to us. And so finally, I think he saw that our hearts were just ripping out of our chest. And he is such a sweet man. And finally, he just broke down and he said, this is what happened. He said, do you remember back when I was passing out tracts with the church? Yes, we remember. He said, somebody took a picture. They took it up 4 hours north of us to his home village, and they showed it to his great aunt. Why did that matter? Because his great aunt is the queen mother of the village. And as such, she is seen as the god of the village, of the family. Now, let me just explain to you. This is an elder in her family. He's 45 years old. That's a good age already for in this country, for the average lifespan. He has 5 children. He has influence over nephews and nieces, and he has a huge influence. I want to tell you tonight, voodoo is very much a religion. It is. But it is also very much about money and control and power. You see, if somebody puts a spell on you or curses you, or God forbid, you get the flu. Because nobody just gets sick in West Africa. It's always a curse. Somebody hexed them. And so if you get sick, you've got to go to the local witch doctor. And you've got to pay to get this curse broken off of you. But say you got mad at somebody and you put a curse on them. You paid to put the curse on them. Then they've got to pay to come get the curse off of them. And this huge debt evolves. And so when Queen Mother, Great Aunt, whatever her name is, saw that Emmanuel was out evangelizing with a Christian evangelistical church, she was furious. And she summons him to the village. When he got there, he said what he was supposed to do, what is protocol, as before he goes anywhere else in the village, he goes into her hut and he bows before her and he confesses her as his God. He said he got to the village that day, greeted by his 2 uncles that serve alongside of her. But when he got to the hut, he said he could not go in there. He said, I could not lay before another human being and confess them as my God and pay homage to them. She would have blessed him and all that stuff. That was his traditions. That's where he came from. That's what he had always been. But the light of Jesus Christ had shone in his life. And he knew the one thing for sure, there's only one God, and his name is Jesus Christ. The family was furious and they said, Emmanuel, we're going to curse you. That was expected. And Emmanuel said, you got to do what you got to do. And he left the village that day without visiting. About 2 weeks, he said, after that, and we remember when this happened, although we had no idea what was going on, Emmanuel comes to us begging for the equivalent of about $200. That's a lot of money in that culture. And so we were trying to figure it out, and finally, Emmanuel just burst into tears and was just wailing. We had never seen this kind gentleman act like this before. So finally, my husband said, you know what, Emmanuel, I don't know what's going on, because he wouldn't tell us. He said, I don't know what's going on. He said, but I'm going to find the $200 for you. I need you to calm down. It's going to be okay. We didn't know if he had borrowed money, and now somebody was, you know, you don't know what to think. What had happened was those 2 uncles, the first one or one of the ones that had put the curse on him with the great aunt, had been killed. They had tried to kill him, but it backfired, and he had been killed in a motorcycle accident. And they called Emmanuel, and they said, you brought this curse on our family. You will pay for this funeral, which is what he wanted money for. You will take care of his wife and his children as long as you live. Within another few months, the second uncle fell with a stroke and is in the bed to this day. And they said, you will now provide for him and his family. Can you imagine the guilt? Can you imagine what Emmanuel was going through? As long as I stayed where I had always been, as long as I did what was comfortable, what was my comfort zone. You know, I didn't get the Holy Ghost till I was 20. So I know what it is to come out of another background and leave all that behind with so many people pulling on you. And so Emmanuel is struggling to come out of that, and he's walking alone in the light of the Lord, and catastrophe befalls his family, and he's blamed with it. Now you know what happened to our new convert. He was struggling. Do I go back to what I've always known? Life was so much simpler. Or do I continue to walk alone? We left him in that state. We prayed with him that day in our kitchen. We cried together. We said, Emmanuel, hold on. God is going to see you through this. You know the power of Jesus. Yes, it's hard right now, but you're going to come through this if you'll just hold on. We came back to the States. We started traveling. We were down in Texas. I started sharing this story, and the testimony ended right here. I said, please pray for Emmanuel, his wife, Serena. Help us pray. Now you see why Bible school is so important. That was the end of the testimony. But I want to tell you, in March, after about 3 months of us traveling, my husband called him. And I could hear Emmanuel's voice change on the phone. We had him on speaker in the truck. And I heard him talking to my husband. And the old Emmanuel was back. And so when my husband finished his business conversation with him, I said, hey, Emmanuel, it's Mama. He said, hey, Mama. I said, Emmanuel, do you miss us? He said, oh, Mama, I miss y'all so bad. I said, do you miss our gumbo? Oh, yeah, he missed the gumbo, all right. I already knew that because Hannah, he had already emailed her on Facebook and told her how much he missed gumbo, but whatever. So anyway, I just kept right on going, and I said, Emmanuel, do you miss going to Bible school with us? And it went silent. And a few minutes, seconds later, his voice came back on. He said, yes, I miss Bible school. I just pushed. I said, Emmanuel, are you ready to go back to Bible school? He said, yes, Mama. I'm ready to go back to Bible school. Hallelujah. Why does it matter? You know what? Emmanuel had spent 2.5 years building a foundation of the Word of God in his life every Tuesday and every Thursday night. When he didn't have his family, when he didn't have his friends, when he didn't have his church because he turned his back on them, when he didn't have his missionary because we left, the one thing he had was what he had seen, what he had heard, and what he had handled, which was the Word of Life, Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something today. If it had not been for an Emmanuel and a Bible school program in his life, Emmanuel would not be back with us today. He would have gone back to the easiest way of least resistance. Bible school matters. It's everything in building a strong foundation in these countries. So I told you that to share with you what our life looks like, what we fight on a daily basis. But I also want to tell you that probably 80% of our pastors in Benin and our leaders do not have this Bible school education, because remember, we just got there 4 years ago. You remember? We had an elderly pastor when we first got there that dedicated a baby, brought out a chicken and sacrificed a chicken to God while he was at it. You see the mixture? Why does Bible school matter? Why does training matter? You know, a lot of those pastors can't come to Bible school full time. They live in rural, distant areas. They can't come to our satellite Bible school. But what we've been doing and what we want to continue to do is every 3 months we go to them. And we teach doctrinal courses. It cost about $600 for us to bring that particular group, whatever area we're in. We have three. That particular group of pastors and leaders in for 3 days of seminar. So what we're asking tonight, if you will, to help, try to help. If you can do the whole 600, that'd be great. we'd like to at least get, we've got 1 year raised at $1,800 for three seminars. We'd like to at least get another year raised before we finish up on Sunday. So if you will consider helping us with that for those seminars and training, we would greatly appreciate it. Here's the cool thing. Every $100 that goes to Africa is a soul. I wish I knew who to thank last deputation for the $100 that allowed us to reach Emmanuel. God bless you.
Do you have somebody in your mind that you want to reach? If you would, stand with me right now. And I would like for you just to get one person in your mind that you're thinking about. One person in your mind that you want to reach out to, that maybe has even reached out to you. And I want you just to lift your hands right now and call out their name. And I want you to say, Jesus, give me the strength. Give me the words to speak into their life. Give me the knowledge to speak into their life and allow them to feel your presence. Because sometimes you're the only Jesus people will see. Jesus, Lord, I ask you right now to anoint us. Anoint our minds as we are living in this day, Lord. We know that we are drawing close to the end times. And Lord, I ask you to anoint this people today. Lord, with their desire to reach out to lost soul. Lord, I ask you to bless them. Lord, I ask you to anoint their minds and their hearts, Lord. I ask you this in thy name, in the name that is above every name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. You have heard the importance of Bible school. You have heard the importance of why we go and why we build Bible schools, why we spend a lot of time, money, and effort to get these Bible schools up and going. You heard on our presentation that we are wanting to buy land and build a Bible school in the Central African Republic. Let me just give you a little testimony about the Central African Republic. We're living in Benin, but we are appointed to the Central African Republic also. We haven't been able to live in the Central African Republic because it's been war torn. And when we did try to move into there, a war broke out. And it was a bloodbath. It was devastating. But God has allowed over the last few years, last year and a half probably, for this country to start kind of settling down. They still have little outbreaks of skirmishes and stuff, and they still kill some people and stuff, but it is becoming more calm. And so this year, as we've been working in this country since 2011. We felt our call to this country in 2003 when we started our AIM tour. But over the years, we have been able to make trips into this country, and we have about 35 students that we're working with. And at the beginning of this year, we really felt to do something in this country. We really felt to, we're not going to try to move there, for the first couple of years of our new term, but we have prayed and we asked God, show us what you want us to do to really establish a stronghold and the presence of a Bible school, the presence of your name in this country. And so he gave us to go ahead to build a Bible school. And so I don't know about you, but sometimes as I'm praying, I'm praying for the will of God, and I ask God, if it's your will, let this happen. Well, that's the way we approached this, buying this land. And we prayed about it, and we felt to go ahead. And so we said, okay, we're going to present it to this church. And so we got up, and we said, we're wanting to build a Bible school in the CAR. We need land. We need about $10,000 for land. And this church rallied behind this calling, this anointed will of God. And they gave us the money for the land. And it was just like God saying, okay, what else you need? When God's plan gets put in motion, nothing can stop it. When we as a people, when we pray for the will of God to take place, and we begin to move in the direction we feel God has called us, the plan of God will not be stopped by doubts, by fears, by circumstances. It can't be stopped. Because when people pray, walls will come down. When people pray, strongholds will be broken. And so we have the money to build, to buy the land. We have the money to build a Bible school. And we are just so thankful because in this will be like the groundbreaking event for this country. Now we have a couple of churches. We have three churches here. One of our churches was destroyed in the war, and so the people had to flee that village and go to a new village. But they've started a church back, and we've already bought land for that church. And so we're excited about that. But this will be a Bible school. They don't have another Assembly of God Bible School. They don't. The Baptist, they have some non-denominational Bible school there, but it's not really functioning. And so we're praying. And so that's something you can help us pray about. Matter of fact, you can take a bookmark. I don't have one with me, but there are bookmarks on the table. And help us pray that God will help us to get in and establish this Bible school and get it up and going, and that it will be efficient for the calling that God has for this country, and that people will come and they will, not only our people, but the people from those other denominations will come and they will see the truth. Hallelujah. I promise you I will not keep you much longer, but I have a word. Have you ever received a word from God and it's just like, it just takes a stronghold in your mind and your heart, and every time you're going through a struggle, you think of that word and it just becomes easier to bear? I got one of those words and I want to give it to you tonight. And I want to quickly give it to you because my time is running short. In Matthew chapter 28, if you'll stand with me for the word, reading of the word. In Matthew chapter 28, I would like to read, start with the verse. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it. Verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Everybody say, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Verse 7. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. Did you hear that? And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. In verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail, and they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. I want to leave in your hearing the simple thought, He that goeth before you. Everybody say that. He that goeth before you. Now say, He that goeth before me. He that goeth before me. You may be seated. When we understand the power and the anointing of Jesus Christ, and we understand that nothing can stand in our way, nothing can take away the power and the anointing of Christ. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can hinder it. Nothing can weaken the power and the anointing of Jesus. Nothing can cause it to be distracted. The only way the plan of God is distracted is when we allow it to be distracted in our minds and in our hearts. But here, it is telling us in the very first scripture that I read, there was a night that Mary and the other Mary and the disciples, they had to walk through. They had to walk through a time where they didn't know which way to turn. Because Jesus was walking with them, healing, raising the dead, opening the blind eyes, unstopping the deaf ear, and now he's in a tomb. So in their minds, their power, their anointing, their direction was taken away from them. But there was something about Mary and the other Mary. And when they came to this tomb, I don't think they were coming just to see if the tomb was empty. They were coming to seek the presence of Christ. And as they approached it, they saw the stone. It was rolled away. The stone was not rolled away so Jesus could get out. The stone was rolled away so that we would have a testimony to tell somebody. Hallelujah. You believe that with me? If you have a testimony tonight, you need to refresh it in your mind. If God has ever healed you, if He has ever delivered you, if He has ever filled you with the Holy Ghost, you need to refresh that in your mind. And you need to walk in that. And you need to hold on to that. Because there comes a time, at different times in our lives, where that is the only thing that we have. And when we hear the Word of God, and when we see the Word of God, and when we handle the Word of God, we understand that nothing will take the Word of God away from us. The Scripture says that He goeth before you into Galilee. Mary and the other Mary, they had a choice to make. While they were standing at this tomb, they had a choice to make. And it was either go into Galilee and tell what they had seen and what they had heard, or walk away from it completely. For you see, my friends, there's no plan B in living for God. There is no other option. We only have one choice to make, and that is to believe that Jesus arose from the dead. He is living in our lives today. He has filled us with the Holy Ghost. And when we walk, I need a demonstrator here. I love to demonstrate. And you ask me why? Sometimes you may say, oh, that's kids' play. That's elementary. But you know what it is? It's placing in me an understanding that there is nothing that can stop the Word of God. And so when you demonstrate, when you come and lift your hands, what are you doing? You're demonstrating your love for Christ. When you worship the Lord, you're demonstrating. When you're singing, when pastor is preaching, he is demonstrating the Word of God. So in the Bible, it tells us that Christ goes before us. Walk on the cross, turn around and look at me and smile in just a minute. Mary and the other Mary, they had a choice to make. They had a testimony. They were to deliver that testimony into Galilee. Now, I haven't studied it out. I don't know how rough the road of Galilee was. I don't know if it was turns and on mountains. I don't understand it all. But I do know this. It was important enough for that angel to tell them that Christ has gone before you into Galilee. There was something to the road to Galilee, my friends. And when you and I are standing in the road of decision, when we are standing at the brink of an anointed word from God, we have a choice to make. If we stay where we are, we're never going to receive the power and the anointing. But when Mary and the other Mary, when they stepped out and they begin to walk, Jesus came along. Come here, brother. You come here quick. When they stepped out, you see, they were standing here. Jesus, don't push me hard now, just push me a little bit. Jesus was not behind them pushing them and trying to force them to go to Galilee. He had a simple word, and that was, go to Galilee.
Go to Galilee.
And when Mary and the other Mary, when they stepped out, maybe all they had was an understanding that He had went before them. But when we have heard the Word of God, when we have seen the Word of God operate, when we have touched the Word of God, we understand that when we step out by faith, we've got the footprints of Christ that have gone before us. But when Mary and the other Mary, when they stepped out, Jesus come along the side of them. He come along the side of them, took them, and said, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to walk beside you. And if they stumbled, guess what? They had Jesus to lean against. Because he walked with them to Galilee. They had the footprints to follow. And when they got to Galilee, he was standing there and he was saying, tell what you have seen. Tell what you have heard. Tell what you have handled. Christ has risen so that he could live in you and I today. Thank you, brethren. So when you come to the point of decision making, and when you come to the point that you've got to make a decision, yes, pray about it. Yes, seek the face of the Lord about it. Yes, seek the advice of pastor about it. But my friends, when you feel you have the direction and you step out, maybe you feel like you're stepping out on nothing. You just remember that wherever you're going, Jesus has already been there. Wherever you're walking, Jesus has already accomplished the necessary travel plans for you. I'm going to quickly give you a testimony. In 1995, we lost a Bible school. There was a man that was in our, in Benin. There was a man in Benin on our board, and he worked for the government, and he stole our Bible school, legally took it. There wasn't anything we could do. We tried lawyers. We tried to pray it back. It didn't happen. So you know what we did? We had to let it go. But just a few years later, I think in 2003, 4, something like that, I can't remember now, God allowed us to buy some land. And you've already heard the testimony and saw. In this city called Ouida, where voodoo runs rampant and thousands of people every year descend upon this place to practice their witchcraft, to practice their sacrifices, we have a Bible school. It is 10 times bigger than what we lost. We have more buildings on it today than what we had, than what we lost. What am I saying? Jesus had already walked the territory. He had already walked it. And there was too many things around this Bible school for us to grow. It was too small for what God had in store for Benin. Today, we have over 80 students that are attending our Bible school program. Back then, we only had about 5 or 6. What am I saying? I am saying when God has a plan, He has already walked the territory. He's already walked the territory where you're walking. Don't be afraid to lift your hands and proclaim victory. Don't be afraid to come to pastor and tell, Pastor, I have the victory. Why? Because when you place your mind, heart, and soul in the hands of Jesus Christ, Satan can't stop you. The worries and the fears that you have, if you would stand with me right now. The worries and the fears that you have with which direction to take. Jesus has already covered that territory. And what you feel like you're losing, or what you feel like you're leaving behind, I promise you, what is before you is greater than what is behind you. He that goeth before you is well able to keep you, to love you, to protect you. When you don't see Him working, He's working. When you don't feel Him working, He's working. Why? Because He's the promise keeper. He's the miracle worker. He's the light in the darkness. And whoever is going through it, whoever has doubts and fears tonight, I am here to tell you that Jesus Christ has already walked before you. He already knows where you are. He already knows what you're going through. And the victory is yours. Claim it. Claim it. Claim it. Claim it. Let your testimony be known. Because Christ is for you. I wonder if right now as the musician comes, I'm fixing to turn it back to pastor. I wonder if you could just lift your hands with me one more time. And I wonder if you could just say, Jesus, I lift my faith up to you one more time. Jesus, I lift my heart and my mind up to you one more time. Oh, I'm praying for your faith right now. I am praying that you will lift your faith up to Jesus. That you will not continue to look at the darkness that is around you, but that you will see the light. That you will see the footprints that are clearly imprinted in the road before you. The victory is for you. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Father. We lift you up, Jesus. We magnify you, Jesus. Lord, you are the King of Jesus. Jesus. Oh,
come on, that's it. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a great God we serve. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Amen. If anybody needs prayer here tonight, you're welcome to come on up here. We'll pray with you. Come on. Hallelujah. God, we praise you right now. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.